Chapter 38. Spire Albion, Habel Landing, Ventilation Tunnels.
Bridget stared for a moment at the remains of the silk weavers, then turned on her heel and walked decisively down the passageway, back toward their nest.
"My goodness!" Folly breathed.
Bridget had helped her collect her scattered crystals, most of them smeared with fine ash, some with more gruesome remains, and the girl had refilled the mesh bags in her holsters and was fixing the lid back onto her jar.
"What is Bridget doing?"
"Hundreds of little silk weavers didn't just pop out of the air," Bridget said back firmly.
"They hatch from eggs, do they not?
Something must have laid the eggs."
"She is, of course, correct,"
Folly whispered to her jar.
"But it seems to me that is an excellent reason for us not to go back in that direction.
Doesn't it seem that way to you?"
"If there was a mother present, would she not have attacked us as well?" Bridget asked.
"Raoul?"
The cat, prowling along at Bridget's side, paused to flick ashes off of one paw, his expression irritated.
"It stands to reason, little mouse."
"Then the mother is not present," Bridget said. "We should look at the lair. It could be that we will learn something.
Or be webbed up, or poisoned, or eaten,"
Folly said in a small voice.
"Eaten all up."
Bridget paused and looked back at the etherealist's apprentice. "Folly," she said, "I understand that you're frightened. I am too. But we were sent out to get information, and what do we have to show for it?"
Folly didn't look up at Bridget, but frowned down at her gently glowing jar of crystals.
"If you don't want to go," Bridget said, "then we can walk back to an illuminated hallway, and I'll go myself, if you'll lend me your jar."
Folly clutched the jar of little crystals to her bosom and bit her lower lip.
"Oh, no, 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 I couldn't do that. That would be a violation of trust."
"We have a mission," Bridget said. "We'll need the light."
"We?"
Raoul asked smugly.
"Oh,"
Bridget said, scowling down at the cat for a moment. Then she looked up at Folly.
"Please, Folly, we'll do just a little more, and then we'll go back."
Folly took a deep breath. Then she nodded, very quickly, as if eager to get the motion over with. Climbing the ropes was difficult, and it was made no easier by the fact that Raoul insisted upon riding up on her shoulders.
"Why do you breathe that hard?"
the cat asked her curiously.
"Does it help in some way?"
Bridget made an incoherent snarling sound, secured her feet on the too narrow length of ether silk wedged between them, and strained to push her arms up another foot or so.
"Your shoulders are shaking,"
Raoul noted.
"It isn't very comfortable for me. Are you sure you're doing this correctly?"
Bridget ground her teeth and kept climbing.
"It's perfectly simple,"
Raoul said impatiently.
"Watch."
And with that, the cat seized the length of ether silk with his forepaws, taking it firmly in his stubby grip. Then he hunched up his rear quarters, lifted his back paws, and sank his claws into the ether silk line. He slid his front paws up, and with effortless grace, shinnied up the last 3 feet of line and disappeared into the opening in the masonry ceiling.
"You see?"
His voice came down.
"You should be more like that. It's faster, and one need not puff like a steam engine."
This time Bridget managed to growl,
"Kill that cat,"
putting as much threat as she could into the words. Then she hauled herself laboriously up the last few feet, heaved her upper body over the edge of the hole, and tried not to panic at how exquisitely vulnerable she felt, lying on her belly on what was presumably a silk weaver nest. There was a strange, acrid odour thick in the air, a scent that made her skin crawl, and she could see almost nothing in the darkness. Had a foe been present, Raoul would have warned her. That was, after all, why he had proceeded into the nest first, bless his fuzzy, arrogant heart. but even Raoul couldn't sense everything every time. Bridget wasn't sure she wanted to come any farther up. If a silk weaver should leap at her, she wanted to be able to drop back down at once. Of course, if she did so and lost her grip on the lines, she would fall 20 feet to the spirestone floor. Statistically, she had heard, surviving such a fall was a toss of the coin. Granted, the chances of surviving the poison of a silk weaver were worse. Bother! She didn't need mathematics. She needed to look and get it over with and get out of this horrible place. She primed her gauntlet, and the crystal on her palm glowed and crackled with power, sending a wash of tingles up her arm to the elbow. But it hadn't really been designed for illumination, and the light from it seemed to spread out and accomplish nothing practical. All it really did was to leave her blind to anything more than a few feet away. But at least, she supposed, its glow managed to make her into a much better target than she'd been a moment before.
"Folly,"
Bridget called, trying to keep her voice steady. "Send up the light." Bridget expected the etherealist's apprentice to tie the jar to the line of ether silk so that Bridget could haul it up. Instead, she heard Folly open the jar. Bridget grunted and pulled herself the rest of the way up, so that she could turn and peer back down through the hole at the other girl. Folly took the end of the ether silk line in her hand, closed her eyes for a moment, and then slipped it into the jar of gently glowing crystals. She said something, quietly, speaking in the same tone of voice one might use when addressing small children. And then there was a flickering of light amongst the crystals, and their quiet luminance abruptly spread into the ether silk line and up it, like water flowing through a pipe. Bridget watched in amazement as the light spread up the line, branching out into the other strands of ether silk it crossed, until it passed into the silk at the edge of the hole and beneath her, and then on into the silk-covered chamber beyond, until the entire thing pulsed with a muted aqua glow. Raoul let out a quiet sound, an expression of pure emotion Bridget had heard only a few times in her life, when a cat was impressed but did not wish to acknowledge the fact. The nest was covered in ether silk. The walls, the floor, the roof, like some vast cocoon, spreading from the hole in the floor up to the height of the spirestone roof above, with walls composed of more silk. It was, Bridget thought, stunned, the fortune of a commoner's lifetime, the silk representing enough value to buy her father's vattery whole 12 times over. She gave her head a small shake and forced herself to look past the treasure the silk represented. She scanned the nest again, straining to see details. There were tiny nodules of silk all over the floor and lower walls of the nest, each the size of an adolescent's fist. Some sort of cradles for the little silk weavers? Each bore a similar funnel pattern, where the silk weaver would obviously have eased into the cradle. High above the floor of the nest was a much, much larger cradle, one seemingly large enough to host 3 or 4 of Bridget. The silk weaver matriarch's bower? And between the enormous bower and the tiny cradles were more funnel shapes, much larger than those below, yet smaller than the one above. None of them, as far as Bridget could see, were occupied.
"This is why the 9 claws were all huddled together," Bridget breathed.
"This is what Norn wanted us to see,"
Raoul said, his tone that of a teacher correcting a student.
"Also that,"
Bridget said quietly. Then she nodded.
"Let's go back. Master Ferris must know of this at once."